We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM here on Wednesday morning. And I just want to start off by giving God the praise. He is being so good. We're constantly doing new things at Merit Assembly of God. And, last year we moved to our vintage worship service. That'll be this morning at 11 o'clock. We a few months later, we added Boys and Girls Ministries, and that has been growing. And our most recent is that while our Boys and Girls Ministry is going on, our Women's Ministry Director, Stephanie, which you heard on broadcast from last week, and I think from this week as well, she has started a small group Bible study for some of the ladies in and not even, there are some that aren't from our church, but they were just having a great turnout last Wednesday night. And so we're believing that God is touching women's lives. We are about restoring values spiritually, relationally, financially, occupationally, emotionally, whatever it is. And so if you would pray for our women's ministry, that women's lives would be transformed by the grace of God. And here in just a couple of days on Friday, we are going to be having a men's barbecue at our church. We're relaunching men's ministry again in 2015. We start off with a men's barbecue on Friday night for those who can come to something at night. And then a week from then, on the 31st of December, I believe it is, we have on a Saturday morning, we have a men's breakfast. And so we're going to be talking about some things, and we want men to be restored to everything that God created them to be as well. So we want to start out today by mentioning to you Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, right here in Rockledge, Florida. You can reach Carla and Dennis at 632-9538. They are able to help you, whether it's an electrical need, whether it's a cold front that comes through and all of a sudden you discover your heat isn't working, or whether we have a heat wave and, you discover that something's gone wrong with your air conditioner since you used it last. Whatever it might be, or even if you just need some maintenance work done, you could reach them, 632-9538. So we want to thank them for their support of the Refresh Radio broadcast. So today we are once again going to be tagging on to Matthew chapter 6. And in verse number 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," or from evil, "for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And right now, the particular section of this that we are focusing on in the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you think of that, I'm going to take you to a place in the Scriptures that you might not think of when you think of it in that context. I want to take you to the third chapter of Revelation. The third chapter of Revelation, the second chapter and the third chapter are messages that Jesus has for churches in various cities that John had knowledge of. And I got to thinking about this, And, you know, each one of those letters or each one of those statements to the churches says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And what got me to thinking about that is, are we as a people, are we ignoring the voice? Are we ignoring what God is saying to our church to such an extent that he would have to speak to someone who is isolated or exiled on a barren rock called Patmos, but he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he's hearing from God what God is trying to say to those various churches, but yet no one is paying attention to what God is saying in that local area. It's just a thought. I'm not saying that it's the case, but that's what happened here in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. God had a message that he wanted to get to his churches that were already in existence. There were already pastors in place. There were already believers in that town. There was ministry that was taking place, but there was a lot of corruption. There were some problems in some of the locations. And so Jesus has to talk to somebody hundreds of miles away just in order to get to somebody to hear, look, this is what I'm trying to say by my Spirit to the church. As I think about that, let's not make that a reality. Let's not make that the status quo in our communities. Instead, let's be a people that have a voice that is tuned to the frequency of God's Spirit, that we have a heart for God's word so that we are listening to what he is saying. I am convinced of this, that God orders our steps and directs our path. He knows what our current condition is. He knows what our current location is. He also knows the destination he wants to get us to. And he knows the process or the journey that it is going to take to get us from where we are to where he wants us to be. So with that in mind, I want to take you to Revelation, the third chapter. And I'll just read the whole letter to the church of Laodicea. It's verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we're not going to get into everything that is involved in this particular passage. I do want to talk about verse number 19. We're headed for verse number 20, but I want to start off by talking about verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know, there's a lot of people, they hear from God and they say, you know, I've heard from God, and, you know, he patted me on the head and he told me how wonderful I was, and you know, he was comforting and just really encouraging and made me feel good about myself. And you know what? That is one of the things that God does. God is the comforter. He does come to bind up the wounds and heal the hurts and build us up. That is true. That is one of the aspects of his ministry. But once you and I are a child of God, he begins the refining process in us because he loves us. And so I want to ask you, when was the last time that the Holy Spirit ministered to your spirit in such a way that it prompted a repentant spirit in you? It prompted a time of evaluation in your life, and you came to the place and you said, God, you are absolutely right. I want to thank you for pointing that area of my life that needs correction out so that I can change that. And he says that the reason that he does that is because he loves us. And so as we're talking about, give us this day our daily bread, can we have as this, and by the way, this wasn't in my notes. This is all just something that's coming out. Can we say, Lord, today would you give me my daily feasting of godly correction? Now, there are a lot of people who will condemn you, who will beat you up, point out all of your faults, and tell you how worthless you are. But that is never the purpose. That is never the motive that God has for his correction in your life. It is always to create greater value in you and in me by removing the dross, the unnecessary, the dilutive properties from our lives that inhibit the value that Jesus has in us from shining forth. So I just want to ask you, how long has it been since the Holy Spirit moved on you and said, you know what, you are wrong. You're wrong, and I love you, but I want to point this out so that you can change this. You know, I don't want to go through life just being a constantly deteriorating replica of the man that I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I want to be growing and thriving and becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, let's go on, because I've got so much to share, and I just looked up, and the clock is already malfunctioning here. It says in verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, we talk about going back to the Lord's Prayer there. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this daily bread. And here in verse number 20, Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice, hears me knocking, and will open the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. So when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, are you praying that from the aspect of dining alone, or are you praying that from the aspect of I am getting ready to have fellowship with Jesus. I am getting ready to partake of the bread of life. I'm going to be experiencing that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes people think that word is coming from a distant place. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. By the way, we use that as a salvation verse. It was actually a verse of a correction that was spoken to an already existing church that had some things going on that they needed to change. And Jesus said, if you will hear me and you want to have a meal with me, if you want to commune with me, if you want to experience koinonia, a Greek term that means communion and fellowship with me, if you will open the door and grant me access into your life, I will come in. And by the way, I want to let you know that we will be having Armand and Bonnie Morales with us this coming Sunday morning at 10:30. And you know, just another aspect of, about the bread. You know, there's a statement that says, you know, healing is the children's bread. By the way, that is a statement that is not in the scriptures. It is a statement that comes out of Jesus's dealing with a lady who was after healing and deliverance for her daughter. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs. And she responded, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And when what that lady was saying is, you know what? a crumb from your table is sufficient to bring healing and deliverance for my daughter. It doesn't have to be a full seven-course banquet. I just want my daughter to eat from your table, to partake of what you have available. And Jesus responded, "Woman, great is your faith. Go your way. Your daughter is made whole." And so this coming Sunday, if you are anywhere near 165 North Grove Street, if you have a need in your body, we are praying for healing to come for you. This is something been on the calendar for some time now. We believe that Jesus still heals. We're thankful for the medical professionals, personnel. My wife works in the medical field. But what we are praying for this week is for God to touch and heal and deliver. And so if you're available Sunday morning at 10:30, please come out and join us and be a part of that great service that we're having. So let me go back to Revelation chapter 3. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Let me ask you this. Are you eating spiritually alone? Are you all by yourself? You know, and thank God that you should be having your devotion time. You should be opening your word, YouVersion, if you have that, or one of the other e-Bible programs that are available. A lot of them have different devotion plans that you can be partaking of the Word of God on a regular basis. You should not just be eating spiritually once a week whenever you go to your local church. Some people don't even make it out for that, and you should be opening. But even when you are partaking of your word, understand this, that the word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. You need to be partaking of that. And if you have to picture this mindset, you know what? Jesus is sitting right here beside me in reading this passage with me. You need to understand that you were not meant to dine alone. It was not meant for your own personal interpretation of that passage of Scripture. It was meant to be partaken of so that you would be equipped and strengthened. It is meant to be a time where you have fellowship with Jesus. Now, as I was looking over this passage, I realized that if you were to open your home to someone as a guest and invite them in, that one of the reasons why many people would be hindered from doing that, or cautious in doing that, or resistant to inviting someone in, is because at that point in time, they have taken on the responsibility of the host. If you remember, there was a story about Martha and Mary. They invited Jesus into their home, and Martha went about making the preparations that the host would ordinarily make, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and she is not helping, and Martha gets frustrated to the point and says, you know, "Jesus, tell my sister to come and help me prepare this food, because we have invited you into our house and we have got to be proper hosts." So ordinarily the responsibility for provision would be upon the host. But what Jesus responded to Mary at that point in time, or to Martha at that point in time, is that, "Martha, you are concerned about many things." Now, I don't want you to take that we don't have to bear any responsibility, because that is not what Jesus is saying there. But this was an encounter. There are only a few occasions that we read in the Scriptures where people actually invited Jesus into their homes to share a meal with them. There's a relatively few. And what Jesus said is, "Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." And so when you and I, when we open the door to invite Jesus in, we need to realize that the greatest thing that we can do as a host is to spend time with Jesus. Now, here's what I have written down. I was preparing for this broadcast, and this is what the pre- the provision of the host versus the provision of God. The provision of the host versus the provision of God. If we think that when we invite Jesus in, that we have got to supply everything that is necessary in order for us to have fellowship, then we are going to be mistaken. Nowhere does Jesus ever say, you know, you go ahead and you do everything that is needed, and I'm just going to sit here. And no, the reality is that when Jesus is walking with us and speaking with us, and we are have fellowship with him, he commands the provision to come forth. And I'm getting ready to take you to a passage of scripture back in 1 Kings and show you what might look like he's asking a person to make the provision. In actuality, it is God making the provision a reality. So here, I want you to know that just the same way as when the disciples in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, they went out, and, you know, Peter said, I'm done, I'm bored, I'm going fishing. And the other people said, okay, well, we're going to go with you. And they spend all night fishing, and the next morning Jesus is on the shore, and they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And he says, you know, children, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we haven't caught anything. And he instructs them. He says, well, if you'll throw your nets on the right side of the boat, you'll have a catch. And they end up catching 153 fish. That is more fish than I have caught in my entire lifetime. They caught in one night. And when they got to shore, guess what they found? They found that Jesus had already prepared breakfast for them. He didn't even wait. Now, he said, come, bring of the fish that you've got. But he already had fish roasting. He had bread. I want you to know today that when we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, that God is in the providing business. If we will fellowship with him, he's going to be the one that provides. When man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What we are really saying when we invite him into our life and to fellowship is, God, I need you to speak into my life. Your word is spiritual nutrition for my life. I want to take you back all the way to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is where Elijah has shown up on the scene. Israel is in a state of backsliddenness, and he goes to the king, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain nor these years except at my word. By the way, I want to point out how failed the logic of unbelievers is at that point in time. They're looking to kill Elijah at this point in time, because Elijah says, it's not going to rain except at my word. I wouldn't be looking to kill Elijah. I would be looking for him and saying, okay, what do we need to do to get you to speak an end to this drought? But, you know, sometimes people just take a shovel and they keep digging themselves a deeper hole. And you know that God has provision. In verse number 2, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And listen, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, so, you know, Elijah, every day, he didn't have to get up and worry about the food, because God said, I have commanded it. The ravens are going to feed you there. The problem was that Elijah was eating alone, and that was meant for a season. But in verse number 5, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Listen to this. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of the Lord, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. A lot of people misunderstand this passage. They think, how arrogant and presumptuous of Elijah to say, will you make something for me first? I want you to know that it wasn't arrogant and it wasn't presumptuous. It was obedient, because God had told him, look, I'm going to send you to Zarephath, and I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so here's where I'm tying it in. You were not meant to be alone. This widow and her son were not meant to be alone. They needed Elijah. Elijah was not just to constantly stay by the brook and just sing kumbaya, come by here, my Lord. He was meant to have a ministry to those around him. When you and I are having fellowship with Jesus, there is going to be provision for everybody. And so he goes and he tells this woman, can you bring me a little water and bring me a cake? And then she describes the dire situation that she is in. Remember, we're talking about the provision of the host versus the provision of God. And so Elijah says to her, you know, because she says, look, I'm going to make a little cake for me and a little cake for my son. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And God blessed the provision. Today, I want to ask you, can you afford to wait another day to ask Jesus into your house? Because he's not asking you to do all of the work. He's going to take what you've got and he's going to bless it and multiply it. He will stretch it, because he not only wants your needs met, he wants you to be a blessing to others. It all the way goes back to Abraham in Genesis 12. I will bless you and make you a blessing. Listen today, church, we can't afford to just eat by ourselves. We can't afford to put the responsibility of provision upon ourselves. We need to say, God, we need your miraculous provision. God, I pray today that we would not eat alone. We would have fellowship with you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.